Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 6, Episode 5 of Das Daily Zeitgeist for November 16th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. New Jack City, because I introduced Cracked to the internet, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hello, yes, it's experimental artist, your boy Kusama, son of Spooky Yuki and Odd Todd, coming at ya, Cleopatra.
And we are thrilled to be joined by our first fourth-time guest. We've actually not had a other third-time guest. She's just that good.
Or she's just that around.
No. Well, yeah, we felt bad when we caught you digging through the trash.
Yeah,
you want to come up and record?
I guess? Outside panting like a dog all the time.
Get you a hot cup of coffee or something?
She is the hilarious stand-up comedian and animator, Jamie Loftus.
Hello!
Hey!
And my former coworker,
a.k.a. J-Lo, a.k.a. J-Law. Could go both ways.
I could go J-Law. Oh, I prefer J-Lo, though. It makes me feel more dignified.
Or yeah. Jaloft.
Jamie, what's something that you have searched in the not-too-distant past that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Oh, about where I'm at right now. Okay, so here's three recent ones. This morning, I did Google Uncle Buck feminism.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Because I'm talking about Uncle Buck later today on a podcast, and I was just curious if Uncle Buck is a feminist icon. Turns out, he is.
Is he really?
No. I just like to say Uncle Buck feminist... Uncle Buck, feminist icon, queer icon, Uncle Buck, like just throwing it out there, seeing what sticks. That I also looked up the Nutcracker discount tickets because it's that time of year. Uh-huh. I love the Nutcracker.
Yeah, and Nutcracker discount a different musical?
But I was in a production of the Slutcracker once in Boston, Massachusetts. I was in the background.
Wait, what was the Slutcracker?
Tell me it was written and directed by a woman and not a man.
It was co-directed by a man and a woman.
Okay.
But it was like a burlesque show of the Nutcracker. And
okay.
I wasn't doing any of the fun stuff. I was just like there. Anyways.
Wait, were you just like a sugar plum fairy? Like
twirling an umbrella or something? Background. Like I didn't do burlesque. I just wanted to participate.
So in the show, if there are burlesque dancers, what are you doing in the background?
In the background, you're just like, I danced, but I didn't do like burlesque.
Oh, gotcha.
It was just a background dance.
So you just choreo.
Sit back there and look scandalized by their moves.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Turns out the Nutcracker is more like the Slutcracker. It's a
Christmas, no less.
I know.
What's something you believe to be overrated?
Spending time with your family on Thanksgiving. I'm not doing it this year.
In your face, Loftus Eye.
Skipping it. Skipping the Loftus Eye Thanksgiving this year.
Why are you skipping?
I'm skipping, first of all, because it's far away logistically. My parents live in Massachusetts, but also it's just like...
The Great Commonwealth.
This year, like, I'm sometimes, for self-care purposes, I just don't want to participate in whatever horrifying toxic conversations are going to take place at Thanksgiving this year.
Is that the kind of the vibe?
I'm just subbing out. Not my immediate family, but like I have a couple aunts and uncles that I just don't want to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna opt out.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it because of Benghazi?
It's because of the, and I also just don't like want to, Marcella Arguello had a great tweet about this of like, just any female comedian who has, they had to be like, oh, did you know Louis C.K. kind of a bad guy? It's like, I just don't want to have that conversation.
Right.
I don't want to have to be like.
So what are you going to do for Thanksgiving? Going to get some Del Taco?
Dude, I'm going to watch Titanic with my friend and eat Taco Bell.
All right. Well, if you want to come, you should come by my family's place if you want turkey.
Yeah. Well, as long as they don't ask me about Louis C.K.
No, they won't. It's some old black people. My grandma with dementia and my stepmom's family.
Oh, dude, see you there.
Yeah. They don't speak much English, so it'll be like I'll just talk to you. We can just sit at the kids' table. And be
we can just eat.
They don't get us.
Dude, you know, I still sit at the kids' table when I go home.
Hell yeah.
I've been talking for the past 2 weeks about how I'm not going anywhere for Thanksgiving. Miles never invited me anywhere, so.
Wow.
Well, you never invite me anywhere. You know what's funny? Because my girlfriend, who also knows Jack, she constantly goes, when is Jack going to invite us over for dinner now that like, you guys are working together?
No, I'm like, she doesn't.
Yo, I swear to God she does. So, hey.
Wow.
You're hearing it here first.
All right. It's happening. It's going down. And it's going to be like a real passive-aggressive, like, we're going to overdo it.
Yeah, just really silent.
Some hors d'oeuvres, Rosie. Happy. What's something you think is underrated?
Oh, underrated. I got two things. I got The Hunchback of Notre Dame, 1996. One of my favorite movies in the entire goddamn world. I watched it last night.
The Disney.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone says it's like too dark for kids because there's that whole song that the priest sings. And he's like, if I can't fuck this lady, I'll burn the city down. And which is a banger of a song, by the way. And so people are like, oh, kids shouldn't watch the movie about the priest threatening to have sex with a woman or he'll kill everybody. But it's really good. Tony Jay as Judge Claude Frollo.
Mm. If I can't fuck this lady, I'll burn the city down. It's basically the subtext of every Eminem song. I feel like.
What about Esmeralda? Who did her voice?
Esmeralda? Oh, Demi Moore, I'm pretty sure, did it.
Wow. Yeah. I just remember her. I was like, oh, look at Esmeralda.
The thing that I've always found strange about that movie is just that, you know, the hunchback is like in love with Esmeralda and he like saves her or like, you know, does some great thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like all the plot points of the movie where the hunchback gets Esmeralda as his girlfriend.
But then Kevin Klein gets her.
Right. But then at the end, they're just like, but no, man, you're too ugly, obviously. Like, I kinda, you can't.
See, okay.
It's realistic.
I thought about that, too. I used to be very anti that ending, but I think he sort of has, like, a end of Sex and the City, the series kind of ending, Quasimodo does. Because at the end, he just, like, his reward is he finds community, and he's, like, happy and comfortable with himself.
Right. But and I then, feel like,
yeah.
I feel like the reason it happens is because the entire Disney universe is a looksocracy. Like,
yes.
It's just beauty is the main currency. Like, from the jump in Snow White, the, like, queen can only remain queen if she's the fairest
if
in the land.
Hot, yeah.
Right. And so, like, this is, like, the ultimate test. It's a movie about an ugly person who falls in love or, you know, has feelings toward a non-ugly person. And they're just like, no, that's just not how our universe works, dog. Like, but
is Esmeralda? I didn't watch
he gets,
it.
He gets a cute girlfriend in the sequel, in the straight to VHS sequel.
Nice.
Wait, does
nice.
He? Doesn't end with Esmeralda?
No, he doesn't. He ends up being accepted by the city of Paris, and
oh, wow.
then he has friends.
Because is Esmeralda like a gypsy?
Yeah.
Or what's her?
Yes.
So
yeah,
like,
yeah,
there
yeah.
are two groups, like marginalized people.
They're both. Yeah, to, they're both othered.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I love that movie. There's a great video essay that came out about it recently from Lindsay Ellis, whose work I really like. That's like the first public defense I've seen of this movie that I think
nice.
Is really good.
Okay, cool. I will check that out.
Yeah.
All right, and let's get into the show. We are trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether you're looking or not. We talk politics, the president and news, but we also talk about pop culture and movies and supermarket tabloids, both of those things today. I was just thinking about, I actually have like quasi-magical thinking when it comes to the zeitgeist. Like, I think the album Yankee Hotel Foxtrot by Wilco, for some reason I woke up with that in my head today. And I was thinking about how that album was recorded before 9/11, but it's like all about 9/11. It has like all this like 9/11 symbolism and shit. So I think sometimes the zeitgeist is like aware of stuff even before it happens. It's like feeling, and there we go.
Exactly.
All right. Enough. Jamie, what is something that's out there in the zeitgeist that you think is incorrect based on your personal experience as a human being?
I think that people have been saying for a long time hamsters are a pet for children, but I think that they're a pet for single adults.
All right.
Yeah.
Wait, that they're inappropriate for children, or like a children can't handle having a hamster?
No, that's like
walk me through this.
It's like it's. I think it's like sort of an entry level pet for kids. Like I have know so many like people who when I say let's just say in theory I have a hamster that I'm literally obsessed with, and every time I tell people that they're like, oh yeah, I had a hamster in the fourth grade, but then I accidentally lost it and it burned up in the sun, or like terrible things happen to hamsters in
like,
the hands of children.
Every hamster story I know it's bad. Just about a child doing something terrible to a hamster, or losing it, or the hamster doing usually it's the hamster doing something terrible to
you
itself.
Know who
hamsters are
care
bad
of
at
hamsters?
Self-preservation.
Adults. Adult women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm a hamster lady, not a cat lady.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
I'm
dignified.
My hamster was literally booked at the Hollywood Improv last weekend. That's good hamster care.
Legitimately booked?
Legitimately booked on the main stage.
Under which name?
She got bumped. The hamster, I don't know, Theo Von does a hamster joke, and they were like, oh, Jamie, you got a hamster. Bring your hamster, and then we'll show Theo Von the hamster. It'll be very exciting. And I was like, oh, cool. My hamster's booked it on the main stage before I get fucking booked on the main stage. So I brought my hamster.
You'll get your time. You'll get your time.
Dude, my hamster will, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Let's get into the news. The Justice League's out today, you guys. This is a big event movie, big tent pole came out. It is November the 17th, and, you know, everybody's been marking that day on their calendar.
Not me.
Justice League Day.
I'm all about Marvel.
This is the tentpole movie that most, like, snuck up on people, I think. Like, no, people were like, wait, it's out, like, now? Like that,
right.
I feel like Wonder Woman just came, I mean, it came out in June.
And also, it's a weird time to drop a movie that is clearly going to be critically reviled, because all their movies are except for Wonder Woman, and they didn't bring the Wonder Woman director to do this. And they're dropping it, like, at the beginning of Oscar season.
Right.
It's not
a good time.
Yeah, and it seems like they should have been, like, showing us previews for this, and then it's coming out in June or something.
It was crazy because, like, this was like a slow boil, obsessive PR campaign for, like, I feel like the last two Comic Cons, like, they would show, like, the things people going, like, ah, like, losing their shit.
Right.
And yeah, now we're here, and I feel like that momentum has definitely subsided a bit.
Right. I also, it's just weird that Aquaman is, like, just being, his superpower is now, like, just getting thrown around by stuff. Like, because he's not, like, there's no water, like, right, in the main battle. Like, so, I mean, this is all just based on the preview, but it just seems like his whole thing is they're just like, all right, let's throw Aquaman at someone or something. So the Rotten Tomatoes continues to be a magnet for controversy for being just a site that collects right, reviews and, like, has no editorial voice other than collecting reviews. And in my conspiracy theory, also, like, sort of changing whether something is fresh or rotten, mm-hmm, depending on.
What's the number where it becomes fresh at what
60,
point?
60, I believe.
Really? All right. Well, that Isn't seems it? Generous.
I don't know. I mean, I just ask the other people around town. I'm like, what do you think? You know?
Right.
I mean, most movies I'm not too excited to see anyway.
Yeah.
So
you're a man of the people.
I just get a lot of anxiety in a movie theater.
There, yeah. You know,
I don't know how I want to frame it quite yet, but
that's my favorite place to be in the world.
The movie theater?
Movie theater. Love movies.
Well, I'm back into movie theaters now because, like, at Universal, like, every seat is a recliner. I'm here for that kind of movie. I could probably endure any terrible film, like, if I'm in, like, a nearly, like, horizontal state.
I'm too fidgety. I'm a talker. I'm bad.
In the movie?
Yeah, I'm a big talker. And every time I try to find someone, I'm actively seeking a movie talker in the Los Angeles area to see movies with me because people hate it.
What do you talk about? Are you like, wait, what's happening right there? Or are you just like, yo,
yeah,
so
well,
what's
usually,
oh, so he to Iron Man?
Because every movie is a superhero movie and they're all interconnected. So I have, there's a lot of leaning and there's a lot of questions.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I'm like, what's this guy? What, his name is Chris what? Because they're all named Chris.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's like
true.
Very confusing.
So anyways, Rotten Tomatoes did not reveal that the Justice League movie had a rotten score until...
Of what, like 39%?
40% at the moment.
It went up 1%.
Right. So they delayed the reveal. They said it was because they are launching their own sort of Siskel and Ebert show where during the show it is revealed what the count on the movie is, which seems like it's just going to drive a lot of traffic to Metacritic. Like it's
right,
it's an interesting idea to, like, sort of make it an event where you, like, find out if something's rotten or fresh, but Metacritic is already a superior, like,
yeah,
aggregator of reviews.
Alligator.
It's a superior alligator of reviews. And so I don't know, but the conspiracy theory is that they're both owned by the same giant mega company. I think it's Time Warner.
Yeah.
So, like, Time Warner owns Warner Brothers, and they also own Time Inc., which owns Rotten Tomatoes. And so the idea is that because they noticed that Justice League was not getting good reviews, they were like, all right, we'll create this show just to, like, hold the score back from the public.
But I think it'll do fine, I'm sure. Because it's like one of those movies, I think, just for the spectacle, people are just going to be like, whoa, all of them in one movie?
Yeah, right. And logistically, people are going to need stuff to do with their families this coming week. They're like, oh, how can I, like, not talk to these people for, like, I mean, this movie's got to be 45 hours long also.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like,
Batman vs. Superman was so fucking long.
I tried watching it three times, and I fell asleep. I'm not even joking. 20 minutes in each time. Yeah. I don't know how that happened. And it's not – look, I know I'm like Team Marvel, but like I – honestly wanted to try and watch it all the way through because I like the idea of Batman versus Superman. Just couldn't do it.
Even Wonder Woman, which is like a great movie that I really liked, is too long. They're all too long.
One man on the street piece of reporting that we can do for you folks, being out in Los Angeles, two of the three people on mic here, I don't know, I actually haven't asked Miles, have run into the actor who plays Aquaman, also plays Khal Drogo.
And, oh, Jason Momoa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I met him like before he did Game of Thrones, and he was just like my friend's neighbor.
He's really? Around?
Yeah. Like, that dude is just like...
Yeah, he,
no, I saw him Tuesday.
I think he used to live near UCB, like Franklin.
Whoa.
It feels like you're in a room with a character from a movie when you're around that dude. He's like giant and like looks exactly like he does in the movies. He is
oppressively hot. You're just like,
I just his eyelashes. I mean, I don't know if it's Latisse or genetics, but
I think it's genetics. Yeah, man. I think he's just accidentally like that.
Wow, everyone's
he's like
eyelashes.
Why is everybody so weird around me? So there's that. But it seems like the movie's not that great. We'll see.
Should one of us go see it?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to. Other movies that are out this weekend, Roman J. Israel Esquire, the Denzel.
My mom can't stop talking about that movie.
She loves it?
She saw it, yeah.
It's hovering at 55, which makes it rotten, but...
Well, who knows? I think she's also a Denzel fan, so...
Yeah, who's not a Denzel fan? You have to see
my mom,
especially
like,
in the mom community.
Yeah, but she'll ride with Denzel, like, I think, to the end of the earth. Like, doesn't matter what the movie is. Like, oh, it's great. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah,
Man on Fire? Yep, beautiful.
Man on Fire is great.
That real stinky one, the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. My mom has that on DVD.
Whoa.
On heavy rotation?
Yeah. That is a lot. And the new Pixar movie is, unsurprisingly, at 97%. The early reviews are in, and it's apparently...
Which one's that one?
Very good. Coco. It is about Day of the Dead type.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
It has a Day of the Dead aesthetic on the poster. All of my information on this movie is coming from the poster. So,
what else can you tell me?
Right. There's a guitar that features heavily. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back. All right, let's get into the what we're going to be calling Mengazi.
Shout out to Daniel Luckenbach on Twitter for that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Although coined by a man, I will take it.
Right. This is the segment previously known as Sex Crim Watch, coined by J-Law.
This is Sex Crims.
I think we can still keep that, though, too.
Yeah.
We call it Sex Crims Mengazi. It's the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interchangeable.
So, what's going on with the sex crims of the world?
We got
the Al Franco, Al Franken. It's my nickname for him.
Al Fresco.
Al Fresky. What's going on with him?
he obviously, I think we talked about this yesterday. No, we did definitely talk about this yesterday, how he, had to apologize for basically forcing himself onto Leanne Tweeden during a USO tour. But it's just kind of weird because of that, like, on the GOP side of things, everyone has just been like, oh, my God, he should resign, blah, blah, blah. Donald Trump has come out aggressively. His tweets are amazing, which are the Al Frankenstein picture is really bad. Speaks 1,000 words. Where do his hands go in pictures 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 while she sleeps? Ellipsis with I don't even know how many. That's not even ellipsis because it only needs to be 3 periods. Anyway, next tweet. And to think that just last week he was lecturing anyone who would listen about sexual harassment and respect for women. Leslie Stahl tape. So, look, Donald Trump, do you even know who you are yourself?
Remember the time there was over a dozen women
who were
assaulted by him? Ugh, God.
Who have come out to with their own allegations of sexual misconduct. And also, you know, you're on wax talking about how you'd like to grab the poom-poom. So.
Oh, yeah. When he said he grabbed women by the that was super chill. Great point by the president.
Yeah, so, hey, Al Frankenstein, get your shit together. But it's wild because it's a very slippery slope. Like Mitch McConnell off top was like, yo, Al Franken, we need to do an ethics investigation. I remember when Roy Moore's, you know, grand old pedophile shit was coming out. He was like, he took a beat before he had to figure out what he was actually going to say. Because politically he had to figure out what was most advantageous.
Right. It took him like 6 days before it was like, I believe the women.
Yeah. What? And now, but see, this is where it gets weird, right? Because if we're going to hold everyone's feet to the fire, we also need to begin to talk about all of these allegations against the president, like in a much more serious manner too. You know, like if everyone's going to be held to this standard, like where, you know, the GOP has to have some kind of credibility here.
What happened to that? Right. Because it was like a big wave of Me Toos coming at the president during the election. And then he won and everyone was like, well, I guess every story before the election was wrong and just kind of it went away or what happened?
Well, I think the phenomenon is like when he's elected, despite all that, that's basically the country saying that's acceptable. So if it was that big of an issue, the GOP should have got rid of him as a nominee if that really was a big problem at the time.
Right. But I mean, I don't think that disrespect towards women is a deal breaker for the GOP in any way, right. shape, or form. They've never demonstrated otherwise. I do think that that's like an interesting like precedent, because now that there's like there was just this huge wave of sexual misconduct allegations that are still coming out in entertainment, and politicians have no problem calling people out in entertainment. Entertainment people have no trouble like calling out politicians for, but when it comes to like people who are in their immediate circles, it's like there's always right. an asterisk for at least one of these terrible fucking people.
Yeah.
Where they're like, well, it wouldn't look very good if I said something, like, you know.
Well, that's how it is, like, even, like we were saying, like, with late night hosts
exactly,
and Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people made a couple one-liner jokes, but typically, like, when we've seen how much more politically active, like, a lot of these hosts are with, like, giving, like, really impassioned monologues about healthcare or, like, you know, just general respect for human beings, that we haven't sort of seen that around their own.
Right.
And that's true, because a lot of these guys have worked with Louis and things like that. So for them, it's not like an other. It's like it's in their camp.
Right.
Right.
They're treating him the way that like Fallon treated the president during the election. Like it's like very like toothless like jokes that and like very few jokes.
Yeah. And like Trevor Noah did a little bit on it. But again, I think it's been.
They're very little. Yeah.
Yeah. But he did the most. But I think that makes sense as like a comedian of color who is not from the U.S.
Right.
It's much easier for him from his perspective to do that. But for the straight white male hosts, it's been a little not as toothy.
Right.
Right.
It's also crazy to think that none of these people had heard of it because we had all heard of it.
That, like, yeah,
that
I heard
can't
about
possibly be true.
Right.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
If we heard about it, then they 100%. Like,
yeah.
The thing, like, yeah, it's like no one truly wants to put themselves at risk. Like, it is good when a late night host will go off on a politician who is being abusive towards really any group, but usually that's because like they're not putting themselves at risk by doing that,
right,
and
right.
they know that they'll get, you know, it's good to spread that information, but you know, like no one's really putting themselves on the line here to call out someone because probably because they're scared or they don't want to like, you know, cause personal friction, but it's like, yeah, it's
well, yeah,
kind of cowardly.
This totally applies to Roy Moore in the GOP because, like,
absolutely.
When Trump is out here going rah-rah Al Frankenstein, can't even spell Frankenstein right.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Christ
interesting
Lord.
Spelling.
He's an idiot.
Yeah. Like, with the same thing, Kellyanne Conway, she was on Fox this morning and they were pressing her. They're like, wow, so, you know, Trump has been real vocal about talking about Al Franken and tweeting about him. But, you know, how come she's not saying anything about Roy Moore? I think we have a clip of, like, her response.
But we haven't heard a lot from the president. He's tweeting on Al Franken. He was asked about Roy Moore yesterday, and he did not respond.
Well, Al Franken was a brand new news story yesterday, and the president weighed in, as he does on the news of the day, often enough. The Roy Moore story is 8 days old, and the president put out a statement during his Asia trip on that. And since then, our press secretary has spoken on behalf of the president mm-hmm. by saying that he believes the people of Alabama will sort out what to do with Roy Moore and with that election.
Yeah, it's old news. That's
right.
why he doesn't have to make an impassioned thing about it. And I think even his initial reaction was just sort of like, oh, this is disturbing or unnerving.
Right.
But no call for like him to step aside or whatever.
Right.
And, you know,
saying that the people of Alabama will sort it out is not taking a stance in any way whatsoever, because that's being like people will decide for themselves if these women are lying.
Right.
And because that's what Roy Moore says.
Well, and the questions that were even being posed to Sarah Huckabee were like, will he rescind his endorsement of Roy Moore? And then it was just sort of like, we'll let the people decide. It's like, that's not the question I'm asking.
Right. Yeah.
We're asking if the president is like co-signing an accused pedophile.
Right. Didn't you hear that Bannon was like reaching out to...
I was reading an article about that. Yes, Steve Bannon apparently reached out to Sean Hannity because on Tuesday, Sean Hannity gave Roy Moore like 24 hours to explain the whole thing story.
It seemed like the wave was cresting to be like, fuck Roy Moore, get him out of here.
Right.
And so Hannity came out strongly.
Yeah, and he was like, hey, if you don't, like, I would suggest that you step aside or whatever if you can't produce some kind of defense for why your stories just don't add up and this whole thing looks like shit. And he wrote, you know, Roy Moore put this really whack open letter together that was really not much of anything. And then the next day, Sean Hannity is like, well, I think the people of Alabama will make the right choice. And this was all in the heels of this reporting that was suggested that Steve Bannon reached out to Sean Hannity to be like, hey, that's my guy. That's my guy. Can you like just ease up a little bit? Don't totally flame him. And then if you look, it's like lockstep with what Sarah Huckabee Sanders says too. It's like,
right. the people of Alabama will decide.
Yeah.
So that's clearly something that seems like it might be coming from the Bannon camp.
Well, cause it's his guy. Like,
right.
And a lot of it too is I'm sure Bannon has in communicating with Trump or his camp being like, this is your base.
Right.
Like, these Bannonites are your base. So don't abandon them. Because you already don't have anybody out here.
Meanwhile, more people are coming out, right? And being like, yeah, no, he was a well-known pedophile at this mall. He, like, assaulted these women.
Yeah, and then there's, like, another woman said, like, he called her in trigonometry class.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah, when
she
was a teenager.
So she worked at the mall. He kept being like, hey, can I get your number? I want to ask you out. I'm a 33-year-old man, and she's like 16, and she was like, no, my dad would be mad if you called my house. So he knew what high school she went to. He called the high school and had her pulled out of class, and he was like, hey, it's Roy Moore. What are you up to? And she was like, I'm in trigonometry class. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And like, he just basically badgered her until she'd go on a date with him, and then he like tried to kiss her at the end of the night, and she was like, felt very uncomfortable, but this
she
is,
could be his daughter.
Again,
like it's just,
a daughter age. Yeah,
yeah. It is weird. Like just learning about like all the intricacies of how far people are going out of their way to protect this system that is actively crumbling, anyways.
Right.
Where they're like, oh, how long can we like get this to? It's unfortunately in the GOP. I feel like it's more likely to work out in their favor because it seems like a lot of the GOP base does not want to believe that any of this is happening, anyways.
Well, most like I think nationally though, everyone recognizes that Roy Moore is just a scumbag. But like these evangelical conservative Christians, especially in Alabama, are a unique set of voters.
Right, and also because there is this entire apparatus of, you know, right-wing news outlets that are focusing all of their efforts on convincing people in Alabama that
it's a schmear.
It's a schmear
from Bernie Bernstein.
I'm Bernie Bernstein
from New York.
That is, if people didn't listen to an episode earlier this
week. Episodes ago.
Yeah, they had a robocall where they tried to make it sound like the Washington Post was calling around asking for people to lie and say that Roy Moore sexually abused them. But
that's so much work.
And the character who they had was a journalist from the Washington Post named Bernie Bernstein.
The voice was whack like that. Sounded like a Jerky Boys character,
right.
Like a rejected Jerky Boys character.
Oh, my God.
Also in the Benghazi, it's come out a woman who was 16 in 1986 says that Sylvester Stallone had sex with her and then, like, after they had sex was like, hey, can you also like have sex with my bodyguard, who then came out of the bathroom where he had been the whole time, and then like they forced her to do bad stuff that, you know, you can go read about yourself.
Jeez.
But it's That's really horrifying. Fucked up stuff. This is when Stallone was in Vegas filming Over the Top, so that movie's ruined. And
the movie was fucking dumb to begin with.
What? No, yeah, that movie was
I bad. Mean, it's about fucking arm wrestling.
Yeah. But I was going to compare this being Jamie's fourth appearance to Rocky IV, which is the best Rocky, but it just seems inappropriate.
Stallone's gone, baby. We're done with him. It's, yeah, the One last thing I have to say about Benghazi is it's interesting, like, watching people, because I do understand that it's like if these are people that are, you know, friends, whether this be political or entertainment, it's like there is like a processing time. Like Sarah Silverman just talked about Louis for the first time, like on her show on Hulu, and I was personally not super thrilled with how she handled it. But basically, it was like, okay, well, this is clearly true, but he's my friend, so it's hard to like process. And it's like, okay, but also like, it's not really about you. Like, you know, I don't know. I just like. People need to use their platforms responsibly, man.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like there's just like missed opportunity after missed opportunity. Not by like, and I'm not saying they're bad people, but it's just like, well, yeah, this is the time where you use your platform to help people and not be like, this is actually really hard for me right now.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. Put the spotlight on the culture itself.
Right.
Not like.
Right. Well, the same thing with like Trump using the excuse of like, it's just, I don't have time. It's like, dude, you do like make the time. I don't know.
Yeah.
You won't.
All right. We have a couple updates from stories from earlier this week. The Meek Mill story, we talked about, how he had this like wacky judge who was harassing him, trying to get him to re-record Boyz II Men's On Bended Knee and just do all this strange shit. Jay-Z wrote an op-ed talking about this story in the New York Times today. And there are a couple details we missed. So, you know, we had heard that he had been arrested in the last year, which were violations of his probation, which sounds bad. But so one arrest was for an altercation at a St. Louis airport, but when video of the altercation was released, all charges were dropped because it clearly wasn't his fault. And then he was arrested for driving recklessly in New York, which I imagined he was, they said it was for popping a wheelie on a dirt bike. I imagined he was, you know, doing wheelies in Times Square, like in the middle of traffic. No, it was actually on the set of a video, during a video shoot, he uploaded a video of himself doing a wheelie to Instagram, and a cop was following him and, like, watching his Instagram and saw the video and, you know, used that to arrest him. Like, so they're clearly out to get this dude.
Right.
Like, the judge who is, we've already talked about, is crazy and just looking for any excuse to be in a room with Meek Mill so she can tell him who she thinks his manager should be. She was trying to get him to switch management to, like, a friend or a relative of hers. She is actively fucking with him, and Jay-Z's editorial was about the fact that, you know, probation is used to, a lot of the time, harass black men. Like, he said, as of 2015, one-third of the 4.65 million Americans who were on some sort of parole or probation were black, which is obviously way disproportionate to how many black people there are in the country, or, like, what portion of the population they are. So, I don't know. He says black people are sent to prison for probation and parole violations at much higher rates than white people, which, you know, isn't surprising, but it's still pretty troubling. And, you know, so this Meek Mill story also seems to be about a bigger kind of trend in the justice system.
Yeah, and there's some studies actually just came out, I think, this week, just confirming what most people already knew, that men of color are inordinately face much higher prison sentences than their white counterparts.
Right. And so this is the second time that Meek Mill has been sent to prison for parole violations. So Jay-Z points out that Meek Mill was around 19 when he was convicted on charges relating to drug and gun possession, and he served his entire 8-month sentence. So he did his time, and Jay-Z says now he's 30, so he's been on probation for basically his entire adult life. And with this infraction, the judge sent him to prison, but the prosecution, the prosecutor in the case, which prosecutors are not known for being, like, friendly, the prosecutor recommended no additional jail time. They were like, no, this is not a big deal. And the judge sent him away to prison. In 2014, the judge ordered him to take etiquette classes. He was jailed for 5 months for, like, some perceived slight. And, it was because he performed out of state without her permission. and, you know, he's trying to make a living as an artist. And according to Meek Mill, he spent much of that 5 months in solitary confinement, which we'll do a future segment on solitary. But just according to everybody who knows stuff about, like, human torture, that is, like, the worst thing you can do to a human being. And he was sent to solitary confinement for months at a time because he performed out of town, and this judge was
trying
mad
to
about
make
it.
A living.
Right.
One bit of good news for Meek Mill is apparently the judge has set a bail hearing for him on November 27th, so he may be allowed to be freed on bail pending appeal.
Which
you have to imagine has something to do with the Jason.
Well, yeah, I mean, because not even that. The you know, it's been reported that the FBI was investigating this judge because of her asking Meek Mill to switch his management companies, as like they're viewing that as like an extortionate demand.
Oh, okay.
So that
I feel like
can't do that when you're a judge.
Viewing it that way because it is extortion.
Right.
So that's cool of the judge to consider letting him go after he spent Thanksgiving in prison for popping a wheelie in a video. Also, we covered a really weird YouTube channel yesterday called Toy Freaks, made by a gentleman named Freak Daddy, or who refers to himself as Freak Daddy, where he basically on camera has his, you know, 6 and 8 year old daughters dress up as babies and baby onesies and throw up food and do all sorts of things that appear to be directly staged for people with weird fetishes. That channel, which had hundreds of millions of views on a lot of their videos, was taken down. You can no longer watch these children being abused by their father. We're calling that the Daily Zeitgeist effect. Took it down.
Beep, 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 beep.
I mean, yeah, we.
No, it's clearly not us. They've been in trouble for a while.
They've been looking at this for a minute. Yeah. But yeah, we'll take credit for
that. Yeah, and also if Meek Mill gets out, that's all us, not Jay-Z.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back after this. And we're back.
What a break.
What a break. And we are thrilled to be joined by super producer Anna Hosnier.
Hey, yay.
For Bloid Watch.
Bloid Watch.
Bloids.
Hello.
Bloids. So this is where we take a look at the headlines that people are seeing as they line up in the grocery store, because these words are entering millions of people's minds every day. People still need to buy milk, no matter what, unless you're lactose intolerant, I guess. So what are we seeing on the headlines, guys? There is the National Enquirer has a headline that is claiming that Joe Biden is attacking Obama. Specifically, it says, "Bitter Biden attacks Obama."
Bleh.
So their headline is, "Obama stabbed me in the back!" Exclamation point. Obviously, he never says that.
Right.
What he does talk about is that Obama wanted to avoid a primary that would do damage to the eventual Democratic candidate, and Obama seemed to think that Hillary had the better chance, or at the very least, that Hillary was not going to back down. So one actually interesting quote they did pull from his book is, she did not, talking about Hillary, he says, "She did not evince much joy at the prospect of running. She seemed to me like a person propelled by forces not entirely of her own making," which is an interesting take that I hadn't heard. Like, you always heard that Hillary was just this ambitious person who was singularly driven by a mission to become president eventually, and Biden's take was she was kind of over it by that point. And
there
was
no joy.
Going through the motions.
Well, that's his take.
That's his take. It's an interesting take. It has nothing to do with the headline on National Enquirer, which says, "Bitter Biden attacks Obama."
Well, I am going to get a tattoo of that, yeah.
And then they also say, "Proof! J. Edgar Hoover ordered JFK murder," but they probably don't have that proof.
No.
What y'all got?
Let me tell y'all what I got here. The National Examiner, they've got a doozy. On the cover, first of all, it says, "The Amazing Secret Life of Queen Elizabeth. She's just like us." We already know that, okay? We know she drives her own car sometimes and goes grocery shopping, whatever.
Yeah.
But they say, "She's addicted to McDonald's, loves to drink and gamble, clips coupons to save on cash. On the inside, though, when you start reading it, she's not addicted to McDonald's. They say she enjoys McDonald's from time to time, and they point to the fact that she owns, I guess, a franchise, like in a strip mall somewhere.
That's
so,
my bitch, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
great. So, anyway, that's that. But the real juicy one is this one. Revealed hidden Bible prophecies. Mm. Now, this is for all my...
Hold on to your butts, guys.
Yeah, these are for all my evangelical Christians out here. According to a scripture scholar... this man has radically different interpretations of the Bible, and this man has revealed startling new prophecies that will come true next year. First of all, they call this person a leading scholar. I tried to Google him. There is nothing about this person. Mm-hmm. His name is Professor Gerhard Lutz, a theological analyst and director of the respected Global Conference on Scriptural Research in Berlin. I was not able to find much information on this, but apparently... he basically painstakingly examined the original wordings in ancient languages and cross-referenced multiple texts and developed what he calls matrices of modality. And he basically says that he developed new insights on what the scriptures say will occur. So you want to hear some of these hot fucking takes that are apparently in the Bible? This is what this man is saying in his reanalyzed version of the Bible, what these prophecies are. One. Medicare will run out of money much sooner than expected.
I believe that's one of Jesus's beatitudes.
That was. It was. Yeah. Another great one. A new fad. Inhaling alcohol-infused vapor.
Oh, that's a psalm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How about this one? I think this is from Philippians 3:14. Actually reads, new technology using brain sensations will allow dogs and cats to answer simple questions and communicate with people.
Uh-huh. The 11th mm-hmm. commandment.
I do. That's amazing.
Another one, John 3:16. Poisoned candy from China will sicken thousands around the world.
Uh-huh.
Another one, Colossians, from the book of Colossians. I mean, again, I'm just making up these Bible verses. He's not saying that's what 3:16 says, but I'm just having fun. But these are his, this is what he's saying the Bible says. Vladimir Putin, weary of trying to manage Russia's struggling economy, will resign and become a political commentator and lifestyle guru on U.S. television.
Oh, so, I mean, most of these are, like, understandable predictions. They're just, like, trying to, like, make a prediction about, like, a trend or some shit. That is the least likely thing to happen ever.
Right.
That
Vladimir
Putin would become a political commentator.
And lifestyle guru?
Right.
Just a couple more. A member of a successful pop music group will spontaneously burst into flames on stage.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, who could it be?
I'm worried.
Yeah, I mean, that would be spontaneous combustion has yet to ever be proven. But again, if the Bible saying it's going to happen... It will happen.
J.C. Chazet. Someone look out for J.C. Chazet.
Another one is Bill and Hillary Clinton will relocate to a country that does not have an extradition treaty with the U.S., supposedly for their retirement.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Bible is supporting your right-wing nut
agenda.
Right.
Steve Bannon is just going under the name Gerhard.
Yeah, Gerhard
days.
Lutz.
The right. Bible's like, what about those emails?
And then right. This last one. ISIS will be replaced by an even more violent organization whose members sometimes carry out suicide attacks against one another.
Mm, the GOP?
Yeah, right?
Oh, hot take.
Let them know.
Burn.
So that's that for the National Examiner.
Yeah, they really called their shot with a couple of those.
Yeah.
Hosnier.
You know, I did not realize this, but apparently Kendall Jenner is dating Blake Griffin, which I think is quite alarming.
You didn't know. Where have you been?
Don't ask. But
don't ask.
I think we need to get in there and get him out of this Kardashian situation. Basketball players notoriously are ruined by dating Kardashians. They fuck skill out of basketball players. It is. And football players. Look, we can't allow this to happen.
Mm.
We need him out there.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Like, he's
creationist.
Putting up good numbers, I think.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Okay.
But...
So we don't know yet.
Time will tell.
Look, James Harden got in and out pretty quick, and he's doing way better.
Right. So is that the trick? You get in and out, and don't stay too long?
Don't get married.
Right. Okay.
Well, so James Harden dated, I think,
Chloe,
over a off season. Supposedly, she dumped him, and then for like 2 months at the beginning of the season, he was a disaster. People were like, what happened to James Harden?
Right.
It was like when rookie of the year's arm like breaks and he like becomes not good anymore.
Maybe they put something in the food. Or
right. But then James Harden, eventually it wore off and he became the natural again. I'm mixing my metaphors of sports movies.
I guess, are they all just competing to see who can date the best basketball player? Because, like, obviously, Kim set the bar real low with Chris Humphries.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought.
And then
true,
Chloe, but... then Chloe's James Harden.
Wasn't she with Reggie Bush originally?
I think they're just trying to date, like, the biggest like media star, and I think Kim just won, and now they're
they should
like,
just date Cardi B.
Cardi B.
They should all just date Cardi B.
Yeah, if you're really trying, if you're really going for those impressions on the internet,
it's true.
Jamie, what you got?
I got Star Magazine, which is mostly just the stars. They're just like us. Hey, look, they're filling up gas. I did come across a compelling picture of Lisa Bonet and a donkey that I'd be remiss not to mention.
Yeah, why is she walking? It looks like she's walking a donkey just down the street, down the road.
Apparently because she's in love. The editors of Star would have us believe. Because the caption is, days after news broke that she had wed longtime love, Jason Momoa, a.k.a. Aquaman, who is apparently just around, Lisa Bonet... It was with a donkey, not too far from here, in Topanga, California. She is in a leather jacket. She's walking around with a donkey. She seems perfectly content.
Yeah.
On that jacket is amazing.
It is great. There's beads involved. We've got to assume that Jason Momoa was like, you know, around one of us most likely because
right.
he's
this may have been the day you saw him.
The most spottable man currently in the city. But yeah, Lisa Bonet hanging out with a donkey. Mary-Kate and Ashley still alive.
Good to know.
There's a great quote.
I went to grade school with them.
Really?
Yep.
They're talking about their style evolution, and it truly they could not be more boring if they tried. You know,
It seems they like long black robes these days.
Yeah, they're just sort of they're like monk chic.
Yeah,
right.
Just like walking
monk chic.
Around.
They're like
monk
the chic Grim Reaper.
Shaloub
like,
chic
at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Star's
Supreme
got nothing
Court
for us this
chic.
Week.
Sorry, it took me a long time to get there. But there was.
Should I add one more? Apparently, Angelina Jolie is wasting away after this.
I mean, that is
kind
of true.
It's a really sad photo of her looking very. Very thin.
They think, according to the author of The Accidental Diet from Fugly to Fox, she is 82 pounds when
Wait.
She technically should be between 123 to 140 for her age and frame.
Wow. Yeah. No, I mean,
yeah,
there was that
looks...
big, like, Oscars moment where she, like, went up on the stage and, like, stood kind of funny, like, with her leg out to the side. And then when Jim Rash won the Oscar, he did the funny thing where he stood with his leg out to the side.
Classic Jim Rash.
Jim Rash is a funny dude.
Check out After Stranger Things starring Jim Rash.
Is it good?
I literally watched all of it. Very embarrassing.
Really? That's not embarrassing. I love Jim Rash.
It's
he's a funny
fine.
Dude.
It's good.
He's the principal from Community for people who don't
He won
know.
An Oscar?
Yeah, he wrote The Descendants.
Oh, right,
he's
okay.
He's had a weird career.
Yeah, he's just like a talented
And now
dude.
Just like hosting the
after
show after for
Stranger Things. Yeah. Yeah.
But so there was that moment where she like went up and stood that way and people were like, ah, what a zany pop culture moment. But like nobody talked about the fact that she looked like very sick. Like she was like super
I hope
thin.
She's good. I hope she's healthy.
Yeah, I do too.
Rumor
Angelina,
has it she
you,
really,
you look,
really struggled with Brad Pitt and Marion
they're trying to
Cotillard
tie it. So
on that film. Allied? Was
so,
that what it was?
Yeah. So they're trying to tie that to her weight loss.
I think they're just trying to tie the whole divorce and the whole situation to her
Come
weight
on,
loss
like,
and being a single
really
mother
sick.
To 44 yeah. kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucked up. But the
break.
Hey, but it's going to sell magazines.
Right. What we have learned about the tabloids is if it is possible to tie a story to Brad Pitt dating a woman, it is going to happen.
It's going to save print.
Back to Kardashians, guys. In Touch, it is going to save print. In Touch is reporting that Kylie, who is pregnant with Travis Scott's child.
Straight up!
Is pregnant and cheated on. Travis Scott is cheating on her.
No.
Oh, geez.
Which,
I mean, the Astros did just win, so I'm sure he was just partying.
Is he a big Astros fan?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's like a mixture of sort of... you know, wanting to be the Kardashians and being jealous of their lives and also Schadenfreude. Is that how you pronounce it?
Schadenfreude.
Where people love to see bad things happen to them. I guess that's true of all celebrities. So
yeah,
I don't have a
that's
point.
That's why these magazines sell, baby.
And in case you see the Globe, which says, Perv Harvey Weinstein jailed. He has not been jailed.
Aww.
It's actually a fairly convincing Photoshop. But... They turn to the actual story they have, and it's just like, man, that guy should go to jail.
How is
it's
how like, can you even run
you
that?
You can't
as
even
a
like make sense of that tense wise. You're just like
right.
straight up lying on the cover. So that's what I got going on in Bloid Watch. Anything anybody wants to bring up before we
I will say in Miles Boyd, I caught a glimpse of a Thomas Kinkade set that's being sold. It's Thomas Kinkade season, everybody. You're going to want to buy your Thomas Kinkade paintings and puzzles. Also remember that Thomas Kinkade, who, by the way, no one remembers, has been dead for like 6 years, once whipped his dick out at Disney World and pissed on a statue of Mickey Mouse. That's Thomas Kinkade. Watch.
Thomas Kinkade is the guy who paints those like scenes of
the painter of light. Yeah, right. Dude, I'm obsessed with Thomas Kinkade. He was having a day and he just whipped his dick out at Disney World and just pissed on a statue of Mickey Mouse.
Right.
Turn up.
Yeah.
He is the painter of every shitty painting in like dentists' offices.
My aunt.
Jamie's aunt is the other one. Yeah.
We should hang some Kinkades in here.
Oh, and Reba McEntire has been. Her husband of 26 years dumped her for her best friend. Country superstar turns to faith and friends and says, "I'm happier than ever."
With the most manic smile on her face.
Yeah.
They couldn't have picked a meaner, a less convincing picture for "I'm happier than ever."
Happier than ever.
I don't know. She looks pretty happy. But it's good to see Reba still out there.
Dude, watch reruns of Reba the TV show. It's tight.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's a great show.
Hell
dude,
yeah.
Dude, single mom who works too hard.
All right, that is going to do it for our season finale, and we're going to try something new out, where this weekend we release a highlight reel of the week's shows, so it'll be basically the weekly Zeitgeist, so you can listen back, and if you missed any episodes, hear what you missed. So you can look forward to that. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us for the fourth time.
Hey, thanks for having me for the fourth time.
Fourth time's a charm.
Fourth time, baby. I'm going to get it right one of these days.
Truly a joy. Yeah, we're just having you back to be like, she's going to get it this
time.
We're
really going to whip her into shape. Yeah.
Right. No, you're the best. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at HamburgerPhone. You can listen to my podcast, The Bechdel Cast. And then just look around for me. I'm like Jason Momoa. I just pop up places.
Yeah, it's true. And she is stunning in person. Like, it seems like she's like a superhero.
Right.
Yeah.
She glides across the room.
Her tattoos are incredible. She looks like a Dothraki.
Yeah. I got my little worm tattoo.
Anna Hosnier, it's been a joy to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at Anna Hosnier.
Yeah. You also have a podcast, don't you?
I do have a podcast called Ethnically Ambiguous about being brown in America. And if you want to hear me go crazy on Saudi Arabia...
I'm going to go crazy on
Saudi
Arabia.
I'm on that
Arabia.
One, too. I'm on this
oh,
last
yeah.
week's
Miles
episode,
of Gray is on this God. Last week's episode. Yeah. Please give it a listen. You learn so much about his deep personal history with his immigrant parents.
It is a really good show. You get up on all sorts of Middle Eastern news that you probably don't know about, and you'll be glad you do know about.
And Anna's picture was next to Oprah yesterday.
That's true. You can find me under the Bold Women section of iTunes.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Bold. Hell yeah.
Hell yes, yeah. Get it.
Hell yeah.
Miles.
Yeah.
It's been truly a pleasure to have
you
on
so
the
much.
Show
yes.
this week. Where can people find you?
You can find me probably watching some Reba McEntire reruns in a second off of the suggestion of J-Lo over here.
Yeah.
But if you're more interested in like the social media thing, like Twitter and Instagram, holler at me on @milesofgray, G-R-A-Y, not G-R-E-Y, A-Y.
You can follow me at @Jack_O'Brien, or you can find me watching Roseanne, which is the superior blue-collar show. Roseanne's
no,
fucking
Team Barbara
great.
Jean.
Did you hear Roseanne's coming back?
Yeah.
Crazy. From the dead?
Yeah. No, Roseanne the show is coming back. They're, like, Fuller Housing that. Which I feel
with
like
John
is a
Goodman
better... what?
John Goodman?
Yeah, with the whole cast.
Laurie Metcalf?
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah, which I feel like that is a show that we need in this moment. We need a show about what it's like to be Roseanne.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, 1,000,000% I would take Reba Reboot over that.
Reba Reboot.
Give me the Reba Reboot, baby.
You can find me at @Jack_OBRIEN. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. Our website is dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find our footnotes, where we post links to all of the stuff we're talking about, except for the tabloids. They don't put that shit online. So you'll just have to trust
just
us or go
them.
To your local supermarket. You can find us on Instagram @TheDailyZeitgeist, and we have a Facebook page that is The Daily Zeitgeist that we will begin updating again fairly soon. And let's give shouts out to the wonderful people who make this show. The Daily Zeitgeist is produced by Anna Hosnier and Nick Stumpf. Our project manager is Sophie Lichterman. The show is written by all those people, Miles and I, and each day's guest. It is also written by Jam McNabb, Allison Zeidman, and Sam Roudman. And it is edited by Nicholas Stumpf and Lawrence Stumpf. The theme song is by
Dream Panther and Trey Finley.
And the in-between music is by
Brian.
Brian.
I'm just keep it Brian. Just I don't want to air him out like that.
He's like Bono, but yeah. Just Brian.
Brian.
And that's gonna do it for this week. Thanks for listening. Listen this weekend for the weekly Zeitgeist, the highlight reel, and we'll be back on Monday.
Season premiere.
Season premiere of season 7.
Oh.